Yeah, I do get the feeling, that's true, that people don't really like me talking about politics. But I remind you that the Book of the Unveiling is about religion and politics. So how can I not talk about politics? There's going to be a one world government on this earth, and now I'm speaking about the good one, the one that's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem with David as king, Jesus Christ as the head, the disciples running Jerusalem, and the 144,000 distributing the kingdom throughout the earth. So, of course, I comment on politics. And the ultimate evil, really, is humans wanting to lord it over other humans for selfish reasons, for reasons of power and money. And that is going to be the harbinger of the end here, when humans gather to come under one government. And part of the dumbing down of this world via entertainment, via the Jews, is to condition people to accept the government, to condition people to think of the government as their savior, and the government as the ultimate wielder of their happiness. It was not this way in the past. People were self-sufficient. Government was small. I'm not for anarchy or anything like that. Government is good in a limited capacity. But when people are tricked into thinking that the government owes them things, and that they willingly become serfs and slaves of the government, and if you live by the government, you die by the government. People are to be, again, enterprising and self-starting and have their own relative sovereignty. But when people are tricked into thinking that they need the government, or when the government enforces policies that causes this to happen, the government loves dependence. The government wants to keep a constant dependent class. This is the whole argument in the United States with immigration. Why do the progressives, the liberals, want to make all the illegal citizens in this country legal? Because it creates another class of people who will be dependent on them for welfare. You think the government hates welfare? Oh, well, it's cost a lot of money. Well, the government gets the money for welfare from taxes. And it really just, when you depend on the government, it gives the government power. This is centralized power. And when people are independent, that's the worst enemy of government. Government doesn't want you independent. It's just like church. Church is the same way. It's centralized power. They need you to need them, or else their existence is not important. Their existence is relegated to an unnecessary. The last thing a church wants to be to you is unnecessary. Their job should be to feed you, to provide for you, to give you the wherewithal to have your own walk with Christ. And if that means you're leaving them, then they should be happy, right? You graduate from them. Go, go. What did Jesus say to the woman? Go and sin no more, right? Go, go, go. Get out of here and sin no more. The church to say, hey, you're good now. You've been spiritually educated. I'll get out of here. No, but they need a dependent class. Well, the government is the same way. It wants you to be dependent. And when people become stupid, then people think that that's the status quo and that's the way it ought to be. And they vote to give government more power. So the government becomes what we call a nanny state. It cares for you from cradle to grave. It takes care of you. We'll give your kids free milk. We'll give them free school. And we'll get them sooner and sooner, earlier and earlier. The government demands that you vaccinate your children. The government demands this and demands that. The county comes into your house when they think you aren't raising your kids correctly. And it's overstepping its bounds. Pretty soon you can't eat or live or be healthy apart from the state. This is the progressive agenda. Progressives, i.e. liberals, i.e. socialists, they all want dependence. It's as simple as that. And the reason I don't like this is I believe it's against scriptural principles. I think it's against human nature. I think it's human nature to want to be rewarded for work. And I told you, I gave you the example of the coach that would not reward people for work because the coach became his own redistributionist, and he would collect all the trophies and give them to who he wanted to. It was not based on merit. It was based on what he considered to be fair. It's equalizing everyone, bringing everyone into a common status, which demolishes individuals. We are a nation and we are a people under God of individuals. I'm not preaching here a gospel of America. I'm not preaching a gospel of conservatism or republicanism, because I'm not a conservative. I'm not a Republican. This is not about socialism versus conservatism. It's not about Democrats versus Republican. This is about emotionalism. It's about people's emotional need to have a nanny and an emotional need that says we just love everyone and we want, this is the emotionalism that I reject. We want everyone to be happy. It's not fair that anyone should be hurting. It's not fair that anyone's feelings should be hurt, or that anyone should be rejected, or that anyone should be called lesser than anyone else. This is what was driving the coach, the basketball coach. It was emotionalism, not logic. Emotionalism says, oh, this little boy's feelings might be hurt, that he can't make a ball go into the hoop, so we're going to give him a trophy anyway, even though he sucks. That's emotionalism. It's not logical. Logic says you give a first place trophy to the first place winner and let the chips fall where they may. And this comes into the perspective of human motivation. What motivates humanity? Humanity is motivated by challenge. Humanity is not motivated by winning for being losers. It just makes people give up. If you give somebody money for doing nothing, that's exactly what that person's going to do. This is why the Apostle Paul said, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. I believe in Scripture. But this one world government idea is that, no, the government will feed you. This is communism. But it never works because humans aren't able to administer it. Because humans, when they get power, they want to keep power, and they end up feeding themselves and starving everyone else. They can't be trusted with that kind of power. So the power lies in the individual. And I believe even in the kingdom of God, the 1,000 years, the power will lie within the individual, because God is going to become eventually all in all. You see, there are individuals. People say, Martin, will we become just one big mass at the end where there's no distinction between people? Will I recognize my ex-friends, my relatives, my relations? Of course you will. God's going to be all in all. So it's individuals who are infused with the Spirit of God. They're controlled by a benevolent, benign spirit, the Spirit of God. They're not controlled by people who lust for power, who lust to have other people under them for the sheer sake of indulging their own opinion of themselves. So this is not about emotionalism. It's about logic. I can say I want everybody to be helped, but love is tough. How do I help people? Do I help them by giving them everything? Do I help people? God doesn't do this to us. Are you kidding me? Does God give you everything you want? Of course not. He doesn't. So God is not emotional. Oh, God, I want this new job. I want this new person in my life. That might be the worst thing for you. So God's tough. He says, no, you can't have that. And he puts you in a position where you don't have everything you want. So you struggle. And in the struggle, there is great value. There is value in not being bailed out of your problems. You have to confront your problems. That's the way you learn. Spoiled kids are delivered from consequences of their actions. Well, we can't spank little Johnny because he's such a precious boy. So we reward him for bad behavior. And he goes on and becomes a jerk, a proper jerk who can't even get a job. God does not allow this to happen to us. So why would I be thrilled about some kind of national policy that rewards people for being lazy or being jerks? I'm all for helping people, but let individuals help people. It's not the government's job to become a nurse or a nanny or a caretaker for someone from cradle to grave. It takes away that person's drive, their desire, their human need to become something. To become something. And if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. That's in the Bible. I can't remember what verse it is. But this is Paul saying that. He wanted people to work. Because work has value. It's good for you to have a job. This unemployment thing where they pay people 99 weeks or something, you lose your job and you can lay around for 99 weeks. What the hell is this? You're getting paid for not doing anything. What the hell? It's ridiculous. I can see maybe a couple months, get a job. You can't get a job, then you're not going to eat. Sorry. There's always work. Some people just don't want to do certain kinds of work. They don't want to make hamburgers, or they don't want to do a dirty job. But these jobs are noble. I've often fantasized about driving a truck. I think it'd be fantastic. Go to truck driving school. It'd be simple. What? You're kidding me. All I got to do is keep this thing between these two lines and you're going to pay me? Drive from here to there? Keep it between the two lines? You know how much easier that would be than this job? Oh my God. I have to think for a living for this job. It can be a burden to care for everyone's needs and to deliver this message, to be against the grain. My whole life is against the grain. You know what the best job I ever had? I volunteered to work at the Fireman's Festival in Greenwich, Ohio. I worked at the Coca-Cola stand. That was magnificent. I sold Coke. Everybody loved me. Why? Because I served carbonated sugar water. And everybody loves carbonated sugar water. Coca-Cola, I'm the god of this eon, baby. You want Coke? I got it. Nobody ever questioned me. I charged them $1 for a Coke, and no one ever says, what's your motive for working at this Coke machine? Nobody analyzed my motives. Nobody hyper-analyzed my walk. Do you deserve to be in this trailer selling this Coke? No. People handed over their money willingly because I was a dealer in Coca-Cola. Now I'm a dealer in the evangel, and people hate it. Generally, not you, but people generally, it's like, oh, how come you're not a church man? How come you don't have a degree? How come you don't have this and that? Nobody asked me my qualifications for selling Coca-Cola. I sold it. It's the best job I ever had. It was great. What an accepted guy. People came to me. They streamed to me. People were in line for my services because I was selling carbonated sugar water, baby, with caramel flavoring and coloring. And the secret recipe still held in a safe or something in Atlanta. Nobody knows what Coca-Cola is made of. It used to be made of cocaine. Yeah. So it's not about emotionalism. It's about logic. It's simply stupidity to pay somebody for not doing anything. Simply stupidity. It takes away that person's hopes and their dreams, and it makes them a ward of the state, and they sit on the sofa eating Cheetos, getting fat, watching Oprah. Or was Oprah still on television? I don't know. Oh, who is it? Oh, yeah, it's Ellen. Sorry about that. So I hate this kind of stuff. So I'm all about being enterprising and common sense. Common sense. This class envy. Now, you know why they're doing it. The people who want government to become large and to take over your life, they fan this class envy. They make you feel like you're lesser and you don't have as much, and they want to, you see, we need to punish these rich people, these achievers, these people like Walmart. Oh, God damn, Walmart. What's how terrible they are. How many people does Walmart employ? It's a big corporation. You know, people don't feel bad stealing from big corporations. It's like they steal from Apple or they steal from Walmart because they're big and they can absorb it. They're big and they're evil. No, they're big because they're smart. And they worked hard, and they give you fantastic products. You can buy good stuff for a cheap price at Walmart. It's fantastic. It's unbelievable. So, is everybody perfect? No. Or is every business practice and every corporation perfect? No. Are there problems in every large enterprise? Of course. But have you ever gotten a job from a poor person? Have you? Has anyone ever gotten a job from a poor person? No? Then have you ever gotten a job from a homeless man? No? Then maybe businesses are a good thing. Maybe we shouldn't penalize them. Maybe we shouldn't penalize the rich in order to give to the poor. But the poor, it's not fair that they're poor. So, but where did they get this idea? Not on their own, because they may have been very content on their own. Like Jimmy Nickel, who was a nice little boring happy man before he worked for the Beatles and became a member of the Beatles. And then he envied the Beatles, and the rest of his life he thought about the day that he was a Beatle, the 2 weeks he was a Beatle. It's this class envy, and it's instigated by people who want you to feel slighted, want you to feel less. It doesn't matter what God thinks of you. So this begins now. People become discontent, and this is fanned by social media. It's fanned by people with an agenda. For instance, Zuckerberg, he's a liberal. He's a socialist, basically. I mean, his disposition is, we are the world, we are the people, let's become one. And it's not fair to have poor and rich, so we'll even everything out so we can become one. We'll even everything out so we can become one. We'll redistribute the wealth here. Not one person gets all the trophies. We're going to be nice to everyone. It's emotionalism. It's kumbaya. It's not logical. It's not common sense. And did you know? I'm going to get back to Facebook because people are asking me, Martin, you were talking about the levels of addiction to Facebook. Are you going to get into that? Oh, yeah. I am. People want to know that. And I'm going to tell you how Jesus Christ was a reverse redistributionist. You're not going to believe this, but it's in the Bible. It's in one of the four Gospels. All right, I got to take a break, and I'll be here tomorrow if you promise to join me.